about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there.
Our brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal. You don't do something that you know if you got caught at it, you'd get in trouble.
Right.
You do it because you think you're going to get away with it.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy. And this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, the psychology of plagiarism.
You know, the thing about plagiarism is it revolves around intellectual property.
Yeah.
So it is the extension of a concept. And so that makes the concept of plagiarism really interesting. And ultimately, it comes down to this idea of value. Objects have a clear value to them because in order for me to get this object, there are raw materials that had to be procured. It had to be designed and manufactured and in modern society had to go through a whole supply chain before it got to me. And then what I do is to provide something of mine that has value, typically in our society, money, to purchase that thing. The relatively more recent invention is this concept that ideas also have value,
yeah,
and that value should accrue to the individual who first stated that idea. And there's good economic reason for that, right? I'm not belittling that concept. So I think there's very good reason why we do this, but we have to recognize that because this has value in our society, stealing that idea isn't stealing the word. It is diluting the value that the person who created that idea can get from the work that they did to develop that idea.
And that's a much subtler concept than taking a physical object. If I take an idea or I take words, that person still has the words. They still have the idea. So how can you say it's stealing? Because I haven't taken anything from them. What Art just points out, which is a really important thing, is because this thing is now readily available in a way that it wasn't before you stole it, well, now you've diluted the value and the income that can potentially come to the original owner. And that's many levels of abstraction away from the act that you're committing in the moment.
And now here's where it gets really difficult. With objects, there's a kind of chain of custody of that object and a history that object has. So I buy a car, I have this car, it's got certain identifying features. If someone stole that car, they might try to change some of those identifying features in order to make it harder for me to demonstrate that this car is the same one that I owned before. But at some level, you can begin to characterize the transformations of that car and demonstrate this is still the same, fundamentally the same object. Now we get to intellectual property, okay? And let's think about a speech, for example. So just at random, let's imagine that you had to give a big political speech and you gave a speech that bore a resemblance to a speech given by someone else. So if you got up and gave a speech and said, "I have a dream," you know, then it's fairly easy to trace the chain of custody of the idea from an original to the current place. But what if you start changing the words that are used? Now, the thing about concepts with humans is that we don't really remember the surface form of what we hear. We remember the content of it. We remember what was conveyed by it. Now, this is where it gets tricky. If I'm plagiarizing, the issue is, where's the intellectual property? Is it in the words or in the concept that those words were intended to convey? And of course, there even it depends. In poetry, it's the words and the concept. But in many situations, it's the concept that matters and not the specific words that were used to convey that concept. And so it gets really tricky, because particularly because it creates a certain degree of plausible deniability.
Right. But in most instances, I think people have a misperception about what it means to misrepresent ideas as their own when they really came from somewhere else. I mean, the issue that always comes up is, well, how do you guard against this? And And the answer is, the easy answer is, you cite everything.
The other problem with plagiarism is not just the potential that you've stolen value from the person who created the ideas. It is also the potential damage that it does to the individuals who attribute the work of the plagiarized work to the wrong person. And I don't mean that in the sense of, oh, I might think you said this rather than the person who originally said it. But rather, in many situations, we are making evaluations about the capabilities of someone on the basis of their actions. So if you give a speech, one of the things that people are doing when you're giving that speech is they are evaluating you as an individual. What are you capable of? What are things that you might be able to do in the future? And I might base my decisions about future interactions with you on the basis of the effectiveness of that speech because it signals what you might be able to do in the future. If you appropriate the words of someone else in your own speech, then you are falsely representing your capabilities for the future to the people who hear that speech. Yep. And now they're making a decision about your future capabilities, not based on what you are able to do, but on the basis of what the person who originally created that speech might have been able to do in the future.
Combined with your ability to read it.
Right. Yeah.
It's testing any lie, right? I mean, you see what people will put up with. And that's why the important thing is for a culture to create a cultural bias toward honesty and recognizing the contributions of other people, precisely because it's so easy not to do that. But if people start not doing that on a widespread and regular basis, it diminishes the functioning of the entire community. But that isn't apparent with any one transgression. The reason human culture has survived and thrived is precisely because we can feel bad about doing something even though we could have gotten away with it. Guilt has an important social function.
Next week, we'll talk about omission bias with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. You can subscribe to the podcast of Two Guys on Your Head in iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud, and leave us a review while you're there. We'd love to know what you think of the show. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.